Reality Rant.
Who done it? That is the question that we are posed. That is the question that we must answer. And so far, we've basically learned absolutely nothing.
Yes.
This is the greatest disappointment in the show, that if you're really trying to figure out who the murderer is, you have almost nothing to go on, and we have reasons. Eric Pierce of Game Show Newsnet alongside Bill Hammond. This is your Reality Rant Whodunit podcast, and no, the butler didn't do it. We like Giles. Giles is funny. The show is
I think Duncan done it.
Duncan done it?
Yeah.
We don't have Duncan done it out here in California.
You will next year.
Yeah, that's way too long, though. Actually, I think it's 2015, which is even worse, but... we need to know.
Are they walking the bricks from Boston?
They're walking the bricks and the dough and everything. It's going to be a mess, an absolute mess. What isn't a mess is our social media. That's right, folks. You can follow the Reality Rant podcast on Twitter, at Reality Rant on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook. Click that little thumbs up button. It's amazing what you can do if you do that. In fact, you'll see a classic Big Brother moment up there right now if you do so. But yes, Reality Rant on Facebook. And if you want, which many of you have been taking part in, we love bringing it up on the podcast, email us at realityrantpodcast@gmail.com and we will answer your questions. We will probably not give you satisfying answers, but you can laugh at us and mock us, and we're perfectly okay with that.
Yep.
Whodunit? We have people dying left and right. We have people learning how to play this game, and it's becoming a much more strategic affair now, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go here first. Ronnie. Percentage chance he's the murderer.
He's definitely on my radar, and he's been on my radar since the beginning. He is not my prime suspect. He's my number two.
He's not my prime, if only because I want to believe someone can play the game this well. This is someone I really wish was on the mole.
Yeah.
Because that game was completely cerebral, and there were things happening in front that you could analyze. This man should win the mole in a heartbeat if he's not the mole himself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm torn. Do we want to talk about the actual events of the show, or more so about the strategy that's implemented? And you know what? Put that on hold. Here's your real answer. There was an interview done with Anthony Zwicker. I don't know how he actually pronounced that, but the producer of the show, also the writer of the Whodunit book.
Yep.
Where he made it very clear that the murderer doesn't even know how he or she committed the murders. That they're not actually taking part in them, and they are trying to solve the crimes right along with the other contestants as a means of keeping it more hidden.
Yep.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, doesn't that seem somewhat unfair? Because, again, you're removing real clues for the contestants to be able to determine who's, frankly, working for the production.
Well, not necessarily.
Not all of them, but some.
And I think it's just more of a case where... Because I've seen a lot of people... basically saying, who's in the ski mask during the reenactments? That's got to be the killer. It looks like Dana. It's like, no, that's just an actor.
Right. That's going to be like, a body double in the same way that when Dante was burned, that was
exactly.
A body double.
You know, but at the same time, that doesn't stop the killer from necessarily sabotaging the investigative process. And in little elements where they, you know, kind of do some mockeries, you know, like the phone call that Giles got, I'm fairly certain the killer had a part in that, you know, which I'll get to that theory in a little bit.
Okay. But let's talk about the most recent killing or slaying. Obviously, we had Dawn, who was killed by cyanide, which Dana pulled out of her suit ass with knowledge, aside from actually finding the clues and solving the riddles herself. Again, credit to... Our main men at this point. I mean, you gotta give Ronnie and Gino some credit for the work that they've done. They've done a very good job recently.
Yep.
And I love the strategy element of I'm going to protect certain people. I'm going to give them enough information that they should be able to score better on the test, but not so much that it puts me at risk. I mean, that's exactly how you do it. If you want to target and try to get rid of someone, that's exactly how you do it. And massive credit. If you choose to tell them as well, that's fine. You're putting yourself at risk. You're not putting us at risk because I'm still keeping something from you.
Yep. And quite frankly, the fact that Cam and Ulysses, all of them got offended by this is like, I'm sorry, you were the ones who formed literally the F off and die alliance.
Exactly. So, you started the game first. They're playing it back. This is what we wish happened more often. If you choose to play, the other side has every right to do the same to you.
And this isn't unique to this show. Like in almost every competitive reality show, you see, and I'm pretty sure this is a requirement of the casting process, they have to get people who are so lacking in self-awareness that they will get offended by people using the very tools that they themselves have used the day before.
Mm-hmm. Very simply, two can play this game. You do it, I can do it too. I may not have chosen to do it because I might have been trying to be nice, because it's a lot easier to win these reality shows in the end if you're nice from the beginning, but trust me, I need to be an evil son of a bitch. I can do it.
Again, Aaron on Big Brother thinks being called Barbie is equivalent to her own racism.
Yes. She is special in the short bus way, and that is not a retard joke. And I did not mean to say retard.
Don't worry.
It was not a midget joke. And I did not mean to say midget. I mean, you can offend people anyway in the world, but that's a whole nother podcast.
Should we just start saying Shvoogie for the hell of it and bring back Drawn Together?
If we could, it would be fantastic because I missed that cartoon. But that cartoon was blatantly offensive as well. As far as whodunit's concerned.
Yes.
People are getting very confused because after all this result, one, Lindsay, who's becoming, again, the idiot savant of the show, keeps on being spared. And Cam and Ulysses fell to the bottom. And Cam makes this preposterous heart attack statement.
I know, I was like, I was laughing. I might have died of a heart attack from laughing so hard at that.
Choosing that the mountain lion killed him, or maybe even that the mountain lion had poison on his claws would have been a lot more feasible. But heart attack, he was scared to death? How crazy do you think these writers are?
I mean, literally, it's like you just wanted an excuse for why the oldest guy in the game got whacked, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. No, no, and no. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And Ulysses thinking that the pink hands were blood-covered? I mean, come on.
The only way that they're going to have someone die of a heart attack is literally if they walk into a trap where they are, like, cattle prodded to death.
Yeah, they're going to be electrocuted or asphyxiated, or given some kind of a drug that speeds up their heartbeat. You know,
exactly.
Super caffeinated or something.
Yeah, you know, just putting a lion in there and hoping it scares them to death. That's, quite frankly, that's beneath this killer.
I do give the show credit for actually not just doing all overnight deaths.
Yeah.
This one in the kitchen was a little comical, even though the acting gets a little much when you've got people like Sasha getting up and running to try to save Don, and then, like, no, stay back! Let me close the door so you can't see what's actually happening in here.
That was a great fourth wall moment. Because both Dana and Don, as the scared cards, got the raw steak.
Mm-hmm.
And John's like, well, if you want to cook it, and Don's like, everybody's like, why does Don have to get up? Why does Don have to, like, because
exactly.
Like, and it's like, you can tell Don really wants to say, because I already know I've lost, and the producer telling me to do this.
Yep, like, Which, frankly, let's go to the most recent one. Cam and Ulysses go out, and they're all going horseback riding. Well, I'm sure Ulysses knows that his horse is going, and frankly, the whole cast probably knew this one, because you can't set up a horse to just randomly go and dump somebody.
Yeah.
They knew that that was going to be the next step, and a lot of this is the cast having to play along to make the show work.
Hell, it's the real people in the morgue with their death makeup on. You know, I'm pretty sure they've had to do several takes of, like, when they turn somebody over in case they just giggle because they're being tickled, you know?
Yeah. And mind you, that part I agree with. I think they should have fought a little bit harder to make sure that all these murders were true surprises and people were shocked at how they happened. I think that first one with Dante was absolutely great. No one really could fully expect he was going to run out on fire and dive into the pool.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That would freak me out if I was looking at this, like, holy crap. You know, if there's motivation to want to do better next week, there it is.
The explosion that killed Adriana, like, the explosion was, of course, startling. And then they had to think, like, oh, crap, who's not here? You know,
those kind of moments are great. These last two, while it's nice and creative to do it during the day, they've been weaker. I would have been happier if there was some way that you could have just served Don a regular steak and you had coached him to choke on the spot.
Yeah.
Just choke, die, and they have to figure out the steak was poisoned, but how was it poisoned, etc.? How was it served to him?
Exactly.
You know, that's how you can make these things more shocking. Or hell, even if that's the case, you could have had him and Dana go into the kitchen together, have Dana come out, and then hear all the noise of the rest. You know, there's little things they could have done.
He ate that raw egg and the cholesterol took him out.
Yeah. That would have been more feasible.
Yeah.
I mean, And here's the other thing that's technically bad. The riddles are actually good.
Yes.
But the riddles are too much of a giveaway.
Yeah.
You get the riddle, you're safe. Period.
Yep.
I don't want it to be that obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be another piece of the puzzle, and it should help you, but it should still require you to figure it out. I don't want them to get a schematic that literally shows exactly what happened.
You know what's hilarious? The fact that the combination was 1, 2, 3, 4, and then in the post-mortem blog that the producers write, they actually, oh no, the combination was actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we had to edit it down. I was like, what the hell? Really? That was too much for time?
Yeah. Pretty nuts.
That's like a joke straight out of Spaceballs.
It's a little crazy, just a little bit, but hey.
10 points if you get the reference.
Here's my question, I guess. Do we appreciate this show for attempting to be more intelligent programming, or do we maybe get a little aggravated by it because it's not living up to its utmost potential?
I would say about 80-20 A to B. I do applaud the show for trying to be intellectually stimulating, and of course we love the camp value. The 20% where it doesn't live up to the expectations more come from the cast, because you know, apart from Sasha, it's like Dana pulled the cyanide out of her own work experience.
Yes,
Lindsay. When, you know, she won week 3 because Ronnie set it up for her to win week 3. I mean, he looked shocked, but he set that up. And the only reason that she got a spare card this time was because I fully believe that the production had planned on basically giving all 4 of them scared cards, because they've said for the last couple of weeks, you know, there can be more than 2.
Right.
But then they got that confessional from Sasha saying, if she gets a spare card, then I know she's the killer. Like, let's do that just for that moment, you know? I really don't think that Lindsay's that smart. Really, Sasha is the only female to demonstrate functioning brain cells to this point. And honestly, why does Melina keep saying it's Chris? What is she going on with that?
I mean, there's a lot to just say that she's very properly put together. She's still in this game, still hasn't been scared. I mean, why wouldn't that make you a little suspicious of someone?
But no, like, Melina has accused Chris every single week.
I get it, but I'm saying, why wouldn't you be suspicious of Chris?
She's not demonstrated anything to make me suspicious. She's just there.
And that's exactly why I would be suspicious. Wouldn't you think the murderer would be the person trying not to draw attention to themselves?
To a certain extent, but I mean, you know...
And the other thing is she doesn't show concern. She's very cold on the exterior when it comes to, oh, I don't have information, okay. I need to talk to this person. I'll handle this. She's very proper and together.
Perhaps, but I wouldn't call her calculating, especially when I hear her talk in the state your case part. It's like, definitely not calculating.
Okay.
But
leave it be, and it's a good thing. We'll close this podcast out by just asking, let's talk about the suspects. Who are your really a possibility, and who are your hell knows? First of all, you think it's more of a guy or a girl?
I think it's more of a guy, though I'm allowing for the possibility of a girl because the first mole was a girl, and Catherine was masterful, so I'm not going to shut anything off in that regard. Early on, I had two now victims on my radar. Like, at one point, Don and Ulysses were both on my radar, but not really that high. As I said, Ronnie's my number 2. Sasha's my number 3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put this out there. I say it's Gino.
Gino's got me questioning. He does have me questioning, but I also wonder, how comfortable do we feel making the black man the killer? I hate to go there, but that had to be a discussion in the production room, and I almost want to rule him out just because of that.
Yeah, I was going to make a joke that I'm only picking him because I distrust black people, which kind of beat me to that one.
I do believe that Ronnie is playing the game as well as he is. I think he's just that good and strong of a competitor. So I believe he is for real. And this is really how I'm basing who I think the murderer is, who I think is actually playing the game versus who's playing the game with, frankly, a security blanket that they know that even if they screw up, they're still okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to lean towards Sasha or Chris. I do put Chris on my list at this point. Melina at a distant third.
Okay.
But I'm definitely leaning female. I don't want to put it on Cam. I don't want to put it on Ronnie or Gino.
I've eliminated Cam. Cam and Dana are the only two that I've flat out eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
And Dana, because again, she is by far the dumbest one in the entire cast, and so unless she's pulling a major fast one,
and another huge one on the cyanide, why would you ever drop all that cyanide information if you were the killer?
Exactly. And Cam is being it's like in the last two seasons of The Mole, where Nicole and I can't remember the Asian girls who won season two, but basically when they decided they were going to sabotage everything so that people thought they were the mole, and so they could find the real moles. Like that's what I see Cam do. Like, he's being too dickish. He's being too obvious to be the killer. Here are my bullet points on Gino, though. Mm-hmm. And yes, I have thought about, like, do they really want to make the black guy the killer? But
go for
it. I'm dismissing that as far as for the moment, at least. I'm trying to get into mole mode and look for hidden clues that may or may not be there. So maybe I'm just, you know, pulling a beautiful mind thing here, and I'm just seeing stuff that's not there. But bullet point number one: every week, Gino has accused Cam of being the killer, except he's never actually said Cam is the killer. He says something.
Cam, I'm keeping my eye on you.
He says something quasi-threatened, like, Cam, I'm coming for you. Cam, watch out. I'll see you soon. Like that's like more of a veiled threat. Like, he can't wait to get rid of Cam. And again, since we know that the killer doesn't know how he even does the killings, though I'm pretty sure the killer knows who's going next each week. You know,
yes.
Like that tells me that, like, Gino's like, come on, let it be this time. You know, let it be this time. I hinted at this earlier. The reason that Lindsay won week three was because Ronnie gave her that win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because even though they were smart and said the six of us against the four of them, and we're going to embargo the information, there was that scene where Ronnie and Gino went out to basically decide what the story was.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ronnie told Lindsay the crucial piece of information at the last second, but I'm sure Lindsay had a chance to tell her allies as like a test of loyalty, something like that.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, they were looking at Ronnie for not telling them what was in the attic, when they should have been looking at both Ronnie and Gino, because the one piece of information that they withheld from their own alliance was the fact that the bomb was in the seat of the golf cart. They discovered that. They were at the scene of the crime. The two of them found that cutout hole in the cart. They knew where that bomb was, yet they told their alliance, well, we're not sure. It might have been in the cart or it might have been underground. That reeks of sabotage. And I think they did it because they wanted to see if Lindsay was going to be loyal to them. They found out that she would not be.
Mm-hmm.
And since Ronnie was the self-appointed leader of the alliance, he got the flak while Gino became less suspicious because he kind of sat back. That's number two. Number three, and this is the only hidden clue that I think it might be there. The phone call from the killer, which I alluded to earlier.
Right.
All nine of the players at that point had a little snippet in there.
Yes.
But two things stuck out to me, and I went back on my DVR a couple times and confirmed this.
Mm-hmm.
Gino is the only one of the nine who does not identify himself by name as the killer.
Okay.
And, again, the killer knows who's going next as soon as the quizzes are done. You know, that's my guess. His line immediately followed Ulysses, the next victim, and his line was something along the lines of, I will not wish you happy trails. Ulysses dies on a horse trail.
Now, wouldn't they be a little afraid to make something that obvious?
Well, I mean, all of them kind of... all of the messages had either something to do with saying that they're the killer or making some kind of, like, horse reference, but his is the only one that actually said trail, you know? And again, the fact that he... I had to listen to it a couple times because I'm like, where's Gino in this? And then I recognized his voice after Ulysses, but he's the only one who never said his name in that message. That sticks out to me like a sore friggin' thumb. Now, of course, now that I've said that, Gino's going next.
Probably. And yeah. On that note, we'll all sit here and pray that our choices stay in the game to the very end so we at least look and appear to be smart, but we know the truth of the matter. Yeah. The truth of the matter is we have a PhD in stupidity. So, yeah. Yes, folks.
I can guarantee you one thing, though.
Yeah?
If I was on this show, I would be gone next week. Guarantee
you. Really?
Because the promos are hinting heavily that the reason Ulysses dies isn't because of isn't like the horse throwing him off.
Snake bite.
There's a coral snake in his bag, and the horse rearing agitates the snake bites him.
Right.
And apparently the riddle clue leads to a cabin full of snakes. I am utterly terrified of snakes. Snakes and frogs, those are my two biggest fears.
So you'd be relying on an alliance pretty heavily.
Pretty much. And if I didn't have the kind of alliance that I would need, I guarantee you I would be gone next week. Because I would literally throw away my riddle clue if it said go into this house full of snakes. I would not even go in the room. I could not will myself to go into a room full of snakes.
All right. Well, on that note, folks, send your snakes over to Bill Hammond at... Yeah, I won't give the address. I'll be nice. But until then, you know how it works. I'm Eric Pierce. That is Bill Hammond. And this Reality Rant Whodunit podcast is...
I love that the lion got more lines than the maids.